for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
A group of us ladies, it wasn't a ladies' conference, but we were at a conference on Friday night and Saturday in the Ulster Temple in Belfast. I mean, obviously you go to a conference, you hear speakers, and everybody that's in that room, a couple of hundred people, you're hearing the same sermon, if you like, but God is always speaking to everybody individually. It's the same in any sermon. Everybody's listening to the same words, but God, through his Holy Spirit, is speaking individually into his heart, into our hearts, bringing his word alive. You know, God speaks to us in a multitude of ways. God speaks to you through people. Sometimes they're Christian people, sometimes they're not Christian people. God speaks to you through nature. God speaks to you through a song. Might be through that hymn we just sang. It could be through a pop song you hear on the radio. God can speak to you through a film. He can speak through your thoughts. But the primary way that God speaks to us is through the Bible. The Bible is the written, revealed word of God. There's no limit, though. If we're open, there is no limit to how God speaks to us. But the Bible is the main way and the most important way that God speaks to us. And if God speaks to you in any other way, or if you think it's God, if it agrees with the word of God, it's okay. And if it doesn't, it's not God. That's the long and the short of it. He will never contradict what's in his written word. But one of the questions that was asked this weekend was this: has God ever given you a specific promise from his word? Now, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, well, you maybe say, well, the Bible's full of the promises of God. In fact, I preached about that a few weeks ago. And they are all yes, and they are amen in Christ. So you could argue that. But here I'm talking about, has God ever given you a specific promise, a specific word, and it just came right into your heart, and you thought, that is God's word for me at this time. That's God's word. It grabbed your attention. It came alive in your heart. And you said, God has spoken to me. Now, it may have been when you were going through a particular season in life. Maybe that word was something for you to hold on to. It maybe was a word to sustain you in a time of trial. It maybe was a word to stir you up, to fight for something. I was reminded this last night and this morning, a man stopped me on the way out of the conference last night. A man who I didn't think I'd ever seen him before, stopped me. And he said, you preached in our church in Hillsborough Elam on Mother's Day, and you preached a word from the book of Nehemiah about fight for your families. He said, and I just want to tell you, and he did that when he was, oh dear. He said, I want to tell you that word really impacted my life, and it's still impacting my life. That's what I'm talking about, a specific word from God. And this morning, there was a lady here, not from this church. And on my way out of here, she also, because I preached that same sermon on the Sunday evening here when I came back, and she said, that word, somebody sent her the CD, and it spoke to her, and it is still a relevant word in her life that she is praying and fighting through for her family. That's what I'm talking about. I wonder if I just say now, has God given you a promise? Has he spoken a word to you? Maybe in the past, maybe years ago. Is it still there? It's maybe lying dormant somewhere. Maybe you feel you've sort of let it die. But even as I'm speaking now, God is reviving that word in your heart. God is bringing that word back to your attention. Maybe there's 100 words you've received, but one is coming right back to your mind now. That is the word God is speaking to you. But when God speaks a word to us, He is expecting us to respond to it. He is expecting us to turn the dial, tune in to the frequency of the Spirit, hear what He's saying to it, and begin to walk in the revelation of that word. And that was what, for me anyway, over this weekend came out loud and clear. Walk in the revelation that God has given to you. If God has given you a promise and you've let it sort of die in your heart or lie dormant, can I encourage you tonight? Say to God, God, I will begin again to walk in the revelation of the word that you have given to me. Maybe those specific words, not talking about flaky words or something that maybe people gave to you that have sort of got no basis. I'm talking about when God spoke to you, probably just through His word. Maybe you were reading the Bible. Maybe you heard something preached in a meeting. Oh, it just needs to come alive in your heart again. This weekend, when I was sitting there and they were talking about this, I was reminded of God's promise to me. I was 16 and just hungry to go on with God. And God spoke to me. It was just in my own Bible reading. It wasn't in a sermon or anything. God spoke these words to me from the book of Jeremiah, verses 4-8, and they shook me to the core. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Isn't that incredible? Think about that. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Now this evening, I have prepared a word here. I said to Graham, this might be the shortest or the longest sermon I ever preached. My mother told me, I was telling her that this afternoon. She said, people forgive you for the shortest, but not for the longest. So I'll maybe go for the shortest. I prepared this, but I sort of feel in some ways I don't really know where I'm going with it. Because I just sense in my heart tonight, I do always speak from my heart. And I always prepare, and I prepare well, and I work well in my sermons. But I just feel there's quite a few young people here tonight. Did you know that before you were formed in the womb, the Lord knew you? Did you know that? Did you know that, young people? Did you know that before you were born, God set you apart? The world is crying out for you young people to push you down a particular path, and it's not a path towards God. And it's saying to you young people, come, do this thing, do that thing. But can I say to you, young people, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of God into your hearts. I'm not saying that God is going to call you all to go to Bible college. Bible college is not the be-all and end-all. Being a preacher is not the be-all and end-all. Whatever God calls you to do, whether that's washing dishes in a hotel, or working as a doctor, or being a receptionist somewhere, or being in the army, wherever God wants you to be, it's knowing God's call in your life. It's knowing the purpose of God in your life. young people, even older people, we need to know the purpose of God in our lives. We need to hear for ourselves, what is the promise of God to me? What is the revelation of the Spirit in my heart that I'm walking in? So that we're not just wandering aimlessly, going to church on a Sunday, hearing a couple of sermons, sort of maybe listening to some worship songs throughout the week. That's not the sum total of Christianity. Christianity is being set on fire for the Lord and walking in the power of the Spirit. We think, Jeremiah says, Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. And at 16, that is how I felt. I felt, Lord, I can't do whatever it is you're calling me to do. I can't do it. I'm too young to do it. But you know, the Lord says to him, don't say, I am only. For me, it was a child at that stage. How many of us present excuses? I can't do that, Lord. I'm only. Whatever it is. We feel inadequate. We feel inadequate. You know, in prayer space this week, I've been speaking to a couple of people. You know, I'm going out on the street and the leaflets were running. So it's easy when you've got a bundle of leaflets. Do you want a leaflet? That's not hard. Very few people find that hard. You've got hardly any leaflets. You have to actually talk to people. My heart was pounding. My legs were shaking. If you drove past, you'll have seen me sort of lean on a sweet post. That's to hold me up for no other reason. And I shared that with a couple of people, and they're looking at me like, you were nervous. I want to tell you something. Most Sunday nights when I stand there in the offering hymn, I am shaking, my heart is pounding. Some Sunday nights I think, I'm actually going to be sick here. And I know I can stand here and look confident. Tell you, if you're ever too confident preaching the word of God, you're in trouble. I don't do this just because I think it's a good idea or what it's I'm paid to do or something like that. I fight my fears every day. I fight my nervousness and my doubts. I live with me. I live with me. I know my weaknesses. I am very aware of my faults. A man asked me this week in the town, he said, tell me, are ministers perfect? I says, I live with one. I'm telling you, they're not. That's the perception. You know, sort of, they're better. They know how to do it. I remember once, I may have told you this before. Again, I was probably about 16. There was a crowd of boys, boys only, gathered at the shops there at Riverdale and Tullygarley, where I was brought up in that wee estate. And there were just crowds, you know, loud, mouthy teenage boys. And my granny lived in a wee pensioner's bungalow on the corner, just up the street from us. My mum was at her house. She came down and she says, Rhonda, there's a whole crowd of boys up at that shop. You go and witness to them and I'll pray. Before I had a chance to say, you know, anything, she was down on her knees, started to pray loudly. So I just had to go. And I went there, trembling, fear and trembling. Used to go around the multi-story car parks in Ballymena, witnessing on Friday and Saturday nights to just young people hanging out, glue sniffing and all the rest of it. Never feeling confident. Poor Russian on Easter Monday, loads of us used to go. I never felt confident. I never felt, oh, I can do this. This week on Main Street, I never thought, I can do this. I've done loads of this, but I'm still thinking, I can't do this. But do I not do it? No, because it's the power of the Spirit. In my weakness, I'm strong. It's learning to live and walk in the confidence of God. Learning that the power of God is greater than our weakness. Young people, catch a hold of what God has for you. The life he will give you is beyond anything this world can give you. Jesus said, and I preached on this a couple of weeks ago, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. These words the last couple of weeks have been in my head as I'm going to bed. They're in my head when I wake up in the morning. Sometimes they're in my head in the middle of the night, and they're there most of the day. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. These were the words spoken by Jesus Christ. You know that. They are the mandate of the kingdom of God. You've heard Graham said this morning about Jesus. He was baptized by John in the River Jordan. He came up out of the water. A voice came from heaven. This is my son whom I loved. With him I am well pleased. The voice of the Father. And then the Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. The Spirit led him into the wilderness where he was tested by the devil. We heard about that this morning. And then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. He had come with the kingdom mandate. And this is the kingdom mandate. Now, some people read that and they say, that was just for Jesus. Or that was just for sort of special people who are preaching on a platform. Read Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18. In the last days, God says, I will pour my Spirit out on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. We are not Jesus, that's a fact. But the primary reason the Spirit has been poured out on us is that we fulfill the mandate of the kingdom. Is that not true? He said, I will pour my Spirit out on all people, not just a special few. Sometimes you hear people preaching and speaking, and you think, you listen, think, wow, I wish I was like them. I heard people say things like that. I wish I was like them. I wish I heard God like that. There can be a misconception about who God uses. God uses anybody who is willing, available, obedient. Anybody. That is true. You think, no, only those gifted people. Only the people with these amazing talents. I have seen very gifted people who have neither been willing, available, or obedient. And I have seen people who have looked in the world's standards and eyes like, you know, they're just like a nobody. Like you wouldn't give them a second glance. And God uses them powerfully. Don't wait until you get some sort of special endowment of gifts and talents and abilities to think then God will use me. Just you say, here I am, Lord, use me. Use who I am, Lord, with my weaknesses, my frailties, all the rest of it. Just use me, Lord. You don't have to go down Main Street. Many of you will not do that. Not because you don't want to. It just isn't you. And that's okay. Not a guilt trip. But God will use you in your home. Oh, that is one of the most amazing places to be used by God.
praying for children, for grandchildren, for family circles, praying, just getting that little opportunity to speak a word in season, to bring a word of encouragement. Never underestimate that. In your workplace, I know you can't always be preaching at people. I know that. I'll tell you what, you can be tuned in to the frequency of the Holy Spirit. You can be tuned in to his frequency and you just hear him speak to you. It probably won't be an audible voice. I've only ever met a couple of people in all the thousands of Christians I've met who have heard the audible voice of God. Very few. Most times he speaks right into our minds, our hearts. He gives us an impression. Tune into his frequency and speak what he gives you. God wants to use you in your workplace, not just in speaking, but in how you live. Key ingredient is to be willing and available. Yesterday evening, as we were worshiping God, just in the final meeting, and they were just playing worship songs and everything, and as the songs were, well, I was singing the songs, but as I was singing the songs, in my head, as always happens in every meeting, whether it's the singing or the preaching, there's always a lot of scriptures going through my head. And these scriptures are going through the ones that I'm talking about now. But another scripture came into my mind. It actually appears three times in the New Testament, this scripture. It's Paul writing twice in Corinthians, one in Ephesians. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both us, that's the apostles and the group who were there, but both us and you stand firm in Christ. He says, he anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us. Isn't that amazing? Oh, God's seal of ownership is on you. That's amazing. And put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And again, he says that, guaranteeing the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come in 2 Corinthians 5:5. In Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, he says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You know, when I was young, you know, when you start saying that's bad, don't you? When I was young. But when I was young, there was an awful lot of talk about the mark of the beast. Any of you of a certain era will remember that, the mark of the beast. It was barcodes initially, and now it's going to be chips in your arm or whatever. I don't mean chips at the chip shop. But the mark of the beast. But sadly, we didn't hear much about the mark of the Holy Spirit. We are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now, without a doubt, the main thrust of those verses is the future. The moment you are saved, God marks you. He sets his seal on you. He deposits his Holy Spirit within you. Is that not wonderful? Somebody said to me this week, how would I ever keep it if I became a Christian? I would never be able to hold on to it. I said, no, you wouldn't. But the whole thing is, God holds on to you. God will keep you because he puts his spirit in you, deposits him there as your guarantee. So the main thrust of that is the future. When Jesus comes back, that we will be with him forever in heaven and ruling and reigning on the new heaven, on the new earth. But last night when I was thinking through all these scriptures during the worship, That verse guaranteeing our inheritance, one of the roles of the Spirit, came into my mind. I was thinking about it and praying about it and saying, Lord, what are you trying to say to me here? And I was getting a sense of the Spirit being the guarantee of our inheritance, not just in the future, but here, here and now. You may or may not know the kingdom of God is what theologians call the already, not yet tension. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus brought the kingdom here. But we don't see it fully here yet. We will not see it fully here until Jesus comes again. And that will be the end of sin and suffering and sickness and all the rest of it, all the rubbish basically. So that's it, not yet. But Jesus brought in the kingdom. And we are kingdom people. And the Spirit is in us as a deposit to guarantee that inheritance. What did Jesus teach us to pray? Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The mandate of Jesus, the kingdom mandate, is to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim the Lord's favor, to release the oppressed. This is all made possible because Jesus died for it on the cross. He purchased it at the cross. And although we're not in that glorious, fulfilled kingdom yet, we are still experiencing the kingdom of God. And our mandate as the people of God is to see more of the kingdom of God among us. Do you believe that? Do you really? These are some incredible promises from God. That's my promise, if you like. That is the revelation I need to walk in. So much within me would say, you can't do that. You'd never be able to do that. Who are you to do that? And in my mind, I could be filled up with a million doubts about why I can't do that. Every day, I have to take that step of faith into the revelation of God in my own life. What is God speaking to you? It's not that he's not speaking, he is speaking to you. God has promised you things. There may be a million doubts, folks. There may be a million reasons why you can't see that fulfilled. But I want to urge you tonight, in Jesus' name, step into that revelation that God has given to you. Step out in faith. Step out and see the kingdom of God being fulfilled in your life. Don't settle for less. Young people, don't settle for half-hearted, mediocre Christianity. Don't settle for just ordinary. Step out in God. Step out in the call of God in your life. Be who God wants you to be. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you speak. You speak to us. You're always speaking. I just pray that you would help each one of us to adjust the dial, Lord, and to tune in to the frequency of your Holy Spirit. To listen to what you're saying to us. Thank you that you want to use every one of us. Every one of us. And I pray for those who feel that they are no longer useful or not able to be used. I pray that that lie would be expelled from their mind and heart and that you would again, Lord, begin to stir faith within their hearts that you have not finished with them. I do pray particularly for the young people here, Lord, that you would set a fire in their hearts that cannot be put out. I pray that they may blaze a trail among their peers of following you, of wholehearted dedication to you, Lord, in whatever sphere of life you call them into. Pray, Lord, that we may be kingdom people. We may hear that call of the kingdom. In Jesus' name.
And your love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.